of pleasure, and eating and dining are a big part of that. Certainly something that I can sink my teeth into, no pun intended. No, I really did mean it. Our number is 260-6368. If you'd love to call, or even if you'd like to call or can barely stand to call, I'd love you back for it. It's something that we always wish we had more of. We have a lot of listeners. We know that. But not very many people want to call in and go on the radio for some reason. I don't know why, because for a long, long time, that's all we ever did. We just went from one to another the whole show. Now we might go for a whole show without getting one. Well, if you want to be the one, no, actually, we've had but four today already. So you can't be number one today, but you might be tomorrow. Our number is 260-6368. Call me and ask me about anything, or tell me about anything. If you've been to a good place lately, we'd really love to know about that. If you have a complaint about a restaurant, maybe it can be a general complaint like the one I have the most often to bring up, is the way how and the number of restaurants that are so noisy that you cannot be comfortable there, especially those of us who are getting a little bit up there in our years. Your hearing starts going away from you, no matter what you do, almost, it seems. But it makes it harder to have a conversation just because all of those other sounds kind of, it's like static on a radio station. That's really terrible. But restaurants just let it keep happening because there's a side benefit to them for ignoring the noise level in restaurants. And this is the thing. If a restaurant is noisy, the point at which you say, I can't stand this anymore, let's go, is pretty strong. Whereas if they didn't have a lot of noise, if it was a fairly quiet kind of place, let's say a moderately quiet, even not a lot quiet, but moderately quiet, the people who are in the restaurant would be with friends very often or family members, and they'll be engaged in conversation, but that will tie up that table and those chairs. And so the restaurant would really prefer that instead of sitting there and having a nice conversation, you go somewhere else to do that and let them fill that table again. This is a big problem for a lot of restaurants. What if you do if somebody says, no, I want to stay? It's a hard thing to figure because they want to get you out of there. And there are some restaurants that actually print a rule somewhere in maybe a sign in the dining room, or maybe it's something that the waiter just comes up with and he says, you know, in 20 minutes from now, we're going to ask you to relinquish this table, or, you know, words to that effect. As far as I know, there is no way to do that and avoid just insinuating there's no way to keep embarrassing the people who are in the restaurant. It's something that if you were a regular customer maybe and they treated you very, very well, maybe they could get away with it. But I just don't, you know, in my opinion, a restaurateur, unless the customer is causing a real problem, just kicking up a lot of noise or something, he's got the table for the night. I remember Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, when Ruth was still alive, she used to do these commercials where she would say, you know, if you want to come over to our restaurant and have some steaks and have a few cocktails and some wine and maybe a nice long dessert, come on over. You own the table. That's what she used to say. You own the table. And some people, if you ever go to, there are not many Ruth's Chris Steakhouses that have lunch. The ones that were here always did. The one in Metairie, I don't know if they do it or not. The one downtown, the one right on the riverfront, that one is open for lunch. But Ruth told me once that it's not something that was even rare. It happened fairly routinely where somebody would come in with usually some other businessmen or in many cases attorneys and that kind of stuff. And they would show up And they would sit there and they would have lunch, and then they would stay and they would stay and they would stay, and they'd start bringing papers out and talking, you know, about this and that. It almost functioned as an extra office. And then it would get to be around dinner time, and the same guys would just say, "Well, let's bring us the menu, and we'll order dinner right now." And they would. I mean, this sounds like a joke or just a rumor, but they really did it. It happened all the time. That's the same thing goes on at Galator's pretty often. People get there, and they just start having such a good time that they don't let the table go, and they just stay and stay and stay and stay. And Galator's is one of the noisiest restaurants around. So what does that tell you? I'm not sure. Oh, speaking of Galator's, I don't know what the date is. It's coming up soon, like within the next 2 weeks, I think. They're doing a new wrinkle on Sunday brunch. Now, get a load of this. It's going to be an all-you-can-eat fried chicken Sunday brunch. And here's what you get. You get all the fried chicken you want. They have side dishes galore. And there's also, I think, there's the usual bubbly wine, you know, mimosas and things like that. Also bottomless. You have as much of it as you want. The price is $50, and it's coming up. I'm not sure what the date is. They sent me an email, and I looked around, and I couldn't see when it was specified. In fact, I had to look really hard to find out what the price was, which is $50. That seems reasonable. Most Sunday brunches these days, they start off in the 30s. Those are the, you know, fairly good ones, but you know, they're well into the 50s and beyond, especially when you get into the holidays. There were a couple of restaurants that for brunch around New Year's Eve, they were charging $100. Nothing new. The demand is always going to be there. That's a big, big day. 260-6368 is our telephone number. Love to hear from you about wherever it is you have been eating. Last night, I went to eat at the Rib Room at the Omni Royal Orleans Hotel, which has a history of being really good. It also has a history of being really kind of mediocre. But I think we may have burst out of that problem, because Tom Wolfe, who has been going from restaurant to restaurant for quite a number of years, that is not abnormal in the chefing business, though, so we give him a pass on that. And he got the job when it came open a few years ago at the Royal Orleans to take over all of their food services. He's the boss of everything that you get there, from a biscuit and a cup of coffee in the morning all the way through, you know, the classiest dinners that they do in the Rib Room. And I went over there last night, and there he was, and I hadn't talked to him in a while, and I was very happy to see that he's still there, and it seems that the restaurant is pulling itself together. The dinner I had last night was terrific, so I'm very happy to see that, and it was nice talking to these guys, and they seem to be really thrilled that I was there. I don't know. They need some more amusement than that. Our program is sponsored today by The Grill. The Grill is an interesting place. My wife and I were talking about it last night, and she was making a kind of a fuss over the fact that when you go there, you're going to have a good hamburger. As a matter of fact, you might say it's good enough that you would say it might be the very best hamburger in town and not be thought of as crazy. But the way the place works, you talk about casual. The people who wait tables are just bouncing around in the restaurant. I think some of them actually cook and then serve. I'm not sure if that or whether it was just a sleight of hand that made it look like that's what it was. But they have an enormous menu that doesn't end with hamburgers, not by a long shot. In fact, in hamburgers alone, they have, let's see here, 12. 12 different kind of hamburgers that they can make for you there. You know what got me? I would give up all the little side stuff there in exchange for something that they do that I think is really impressive, and that is they make the beef patties by hand. And the way you do that is, can you hear what I'm doing? That's how you do it. And that makes a better burger. There's no question about it. Then they throw it on this really hot grill, and it throws off some smoke, and they flip it over once, and it throws out some more smoke, and then you put it into the bun and everything, the toasted bun, and it all comes together. But that's only the first sandwich on a list that includes a whole lot more of them. Like, here's one from a category they call whole meal sandwiches, and they're served with a side item at that. Okay, I'm just going to pick one of these at random. They have one that they call the Fat Tuesday. This is turkey, bacon, lettuce, corned beef. Huh, that's interesting. Corned beef and ham and turkey and bacon all in the same sandwich. Thousand Island dressing, all of this is on rye. It's kind of has a deli quality to it. The whole place does. They have poor boy sandwiches, though, and that doesn't have a deli aspect at all. Let's pick one here. It's they have a breakfast sandwich, bacon and eggs, and lettuce and tomatoes and mayonnaise. They have a barbecue shrimp poor boy. That's something you don't see too much. And then on top of all of that, a big, long list of all the different kinds of omelets that they do. And then they have another big number of places that are or dishes that are breakfast specialties. You know, things like pancakes and waffles and all that. It's quite a place. Has a real neighborhood feel. It's family-friendly. So if your kids, you know, just want a little hamburger, or if they want a grilled cheese sandwich, they've got that. They've got all of that stuff. Good daily specials, too. All of this comes to you from The Grill. And The Grill is on Veterans Highway, about 2-3 blocks before you get to Causeway Boulevard, heading out towards Kenner. You'll see it. It's in a fairly good-sized shopping center, and it's immediately next door to Trader Joe's. It's that great new store that has a lot of really interesting things in it. Nationwide. They just got here recently. Anyway, this is The Grill. Try it out. They're open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You're listening to The Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. 260-6368. 260-6368. I'm thinking tomorrow we are going to have the chef from a restaurant called Gris Gris, G-R-I-S, twice. Gris Gris is what I think is the best new restaurant of 2018. That was number one on my list. I like where it is. I like the design of the building. It's an old building that they didn't beat up to where it doesn't look anything like it used to. They did a nice job of that. And the menu just goes all over the place. The chef there had been working with Emeril for a long time and a few other great locations. So he is on top of things, and he's doing some cooking demonstrations this weekend on Saturday. They're hour-long. I think they're free. There may be an admission charge to get in for the whole festival because they're doing a big, big deal over at the Southern Food and Beverage Museum. It's a food museum. It's the Southern, that's what it means, actually. The Southern, what's the F stand for? Food. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, food. Food museum. Anyway, it's really a lot of fun to go there. They have a lot of really interesting appliances, for example. You imagine what refrigerators looked like in, let's say, 1910. They've got some of those. It's really, they have bottles from ingredients that are no longer being made. I mean, it's worth a look all the time. They've done pretty well with it, too. I remember when they were first talking about a museum of food here in New Orleans, I thought it sounded great. It sounded like a great, great idea. But I always had it in my mind that there was no way that they were going to survive because, you know, you need money to do anything. And we are notorious here for, you know, not having a whole lot of money to sling around. But they got it open, and it was a struggle, and it has taken a long time. But they have really come around and produced something worth visiting if you ever have people. Hello there. Welcome back. It's the Food Show. This is Tom Fitzmaurice. It's great to be here with you talking about the food scene around New Orleans. What have you had lately that's good? God, call me and tell me. Here's a question that is wide open all the time. Anytime you ever feel like answering a question from somebody, just for fun, here's the question. What is your favorite food? I can answer my own answer is very easy. Oysters. That's it. What kind of oysters? Doesn't matter. I like it all. Macaroni and cheese, says. Ronald says macaroni and cheese. You know who else says macaroni and cheese? My wife. She loves macaroni and cheese. No box? Oh, well, good for you. Can everybody hear that or just me? Okay. My wife was once, when our kids were really little, she was hanging around McDonald's because, you know, they have that fun area and all that. And so our kids were running around like crazy. And she got to talking with one of the other moms there. And they got to talking about macaroni and cheese. And this one lady asked her, well, what kind of macaroni and cheese do you use? And she says, well, you know, I just cook some pasta and I put some cheese on top of it. And the lady looked at her like she had just said, oh, I call in a Martian who will just, you know, have a little thing out of his head that will spurt it out onto the plate. And she looked at my wife and said, can you do that? And she said, what? Do what? Well, I mean, I was talking about the stuff in the box. I didn't know that you could actually buy cheddar cheese and pasta and cook the pasta and throw it all together. I would never have guessed that. Really? It's just amazing. And that is all you need to do. And she makes pretty good macaroni and cheese, too. But to me, that is forever going to be a kid dish. I liked it when I was a little kid. Now, I'll take a bite or two just so I can say I did, but not something that gets me off my rocker. You're not kidding, right? You really like it, right? That doesn't make you a bad person, or of course not. But it seems to me, you know, you get past that. But it's certainly easy to throw together. I mean, huh? Oh yeah, side of fried chicken. Yeah, that would be about exactly right. It's the Food Show. This is Tom Fitzmaurice. Anybody have any magic ingredients and magical preparations for making macaroni and cheese? Share it with us, would you? I'm always looking for people to share their recipes. If you have secret recipes, get rid of them. Here's how you get rid of them. You call the person you originally got it from, your grandmother or, you know, the guy down the street or wherever it came from, and say, I'd like to watch you do this recipe. I'll go buy all the ingredients. I'm going to weigh everything or measure everything, and we'll see how much of everything is here, and then we'll get this recipe put on paper, and I'll print a bunch of them, and you can give them to all your friends. And that'll get some people anyway. And it will also yield a great recipe that you will have captured for the rest of eternity, and just maybe even make a little book out of it. I'm a big what's the word I'm looking for? I love the idea of keeping recipes around. If you try to keep it a secret, it's one day it's going to die. And there will be no way you will ever get it back. Once a restaurant closes or somebody dies and they had some great recipes or anything else that's valuable, it's gone. It's gone. Nothing you can do will bring it back. All right, let's see. Let's take a look at our food almanac for today. We haven't done that yet. Today is National Bittersweet Chocolate Day. Now, there's an interesting concept. Bittersweet chocolate is, as I hardly have to tell you, you have chocolate that is sweet. That's usually just called, let's see, there's a name for that too. Milk chocolate. It's very light. The taste of chocolate is kind of in the background almost in some cases. And then it keeps going up and up and up. And then you get to bittersweet chocolate, which is less sweet than semi-sweet. And it's great for making chocolate mousse or for chocolate sauce to go over something that's already very sweet. But then the next step after that is bittersweet. And then you have bitter chocolate. I mean, there's a lot of levels of this. Here in New Orleans, you're encouraged to celebrate Fancy Creole Chicken Day. And there's a number of dishes, all of them developed over the years to celebrate fancy, all of this developed about a century ago. It's the mainstay in a lot of local restaurants, particularly the older ones. Among all of those, you have a half a chicken. It's baked, sometimes it's grilled, and it's topped or surrounded with some kind of hash. The most popular are, I'm going to give you a few of them. They're all different, though. They have a lot in common, but they're all different. Chicken bonfomme, B-O-N-N-E, second word, F-E-M-M-E, which translates from French as good woman's chicken. And what they're trying to say there is not that this was a wonderful cook or anything. A good woman in that dialogue in those days meant this is a woman who not only did wonderful work for her family, you know, keeping house and cooking and everything, but she also worked very, very hard all the time, and you know how mothers can be. So that's what it's named for, good woman chicken. And it's a roasted chicken, half a chicken usually. You do the whole thing and then pull it apart. And it's covered with cubed potatoes, garlic, parsley, and other little savory things. The potatoes can be fried, it's better if they're broiled, and usually with some herbs on it. The most famous version of this is cooked at Two Jags, where it used to be the best dish in the house, but now they've improved their menu hugely over there, so it gets a lot of competition. But it's still a great dish. Then you have chicken Clemenceau, which was named for the premier of France during World War I. We have a lot of dishes in New Orleans that are named after people who participated in World War I. It has a garnish of mushrooms, peas, butter, onions, a pretty good bit of garlic. Galatoire's makes, I think, the definitive version of chicken Clemenceau. If you go over there and get that, you'll see, the sauce is just these potatoes and there's all of this stuff, a lot of butter, a lot of garlic. That's what makes that a different kind of a dish. And then you have chicken Pontalba, which I think might be the best of all of these sorts of things. And it was a specialty of the house over at Brennan's on Royal Street. And that's where it was created. I don't know who the chef was who came up with it, but here's what it is. They roast the chicken. They start with that, as always. And then they cut the potatoes into cubes, and then they cook it in a pan with a lot of butter. And there's some ham in there, and there's green onions in there. And then the very finest little last touch is béarnaise sauce. Oh, wait, I do know who made it. It says so right here. I wrote this so I can claim it as genuine. Chef Paul Boulanger, he was a native of Belgium, of all things. But he was the chef who devised most of the recipes for which Brennan's on Royal Street became famous. And that was one of them. That was a great dish. And I don't know anybody who makes it anymore. I think Dickie Brennan's Steakhouse makes it every now and then. So anyway, those are the Creole classic chicken dishes. Make any of them. They're not hard to do, and they really are good, especially in cool weather. It just seems to really fit at this time of year. Today's the birthday in 1949 of George Foreman, former heavyweight boxing champion. After he retired from doing that, he began a new career after he devised and sold countertop grills. This was something he says he invented, did it himself. he began it after using a bunch of other kinds of grills, and he figured you could do a better job with it, so he did. It's a brilliant product. Seems like something you'll need, even though you probably are going to be one appliance too many. I think we have too many kitchen appliances. I know we do at our house. And there are other parts of your kitchen that can do this job better than that does, or at least as good. But to have a separate one for everything, like there's, you know, a separate broiler for chicken that you can have on top of your counter, and it's all kinds of stuff. But who has that much room? I don't. Anyway, but good for him. He did very, very well with it. I think he's still doing really well with it. George Foreman, it's his birthday today in 1949. Good for him. Let's see. What else do we have? The physiology of taste, it says here in a note to myself, he said, wondering what did this mean. Niels Stenson, born today in 1683. Wow. He's also known as Nicholas Steno. He discovered Steno's duct. Wait a minute. That's what moves saliva from the gland that makes it to your mouth. Now, we don't think of saliva too much. It's with good reason. But it plays more than an important role in keeping, in eating than most people know. It's, aside from making it easier to swallow food, it actually begins the digesting process. If you put a cracker in your mouth and then chew it up but don't swallow it, you can taste the starches becoming sugary. And that's the action of the enzymes in your saliva. And the guy who discovered that was Niels Stenson, and today he was born in 1683. So they were pretty far ahead of their time then, weren't they? 260-6368. Somebody want to talk? Anybody? 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 260-6368. Our program today is sponsored by Felix, F-E-L-I-X. Felix means happy in Latin and in Spanish and in Italian and maybe some other languages too. You'll see things like it in many other ones. Anyway, the reason we bring it up is that Felix, F-E-L-I-X, or Felix's, as a lot of people say. I like Felix myself. I talked to a lady on the phone here a couple of days ago who said, and she told me her name was Felix, and I asked, well, do you pronounce it that way? And she says, we pronounce it different ways on different days with different people. So that didn't help at all. But here's something that you can take to the bank. If you go to Felix's, you will have some very good oysters. They might be alive on the half shell. Well, they are alive, come to think of it, when they shuck them. You have raw oysters. Then you have grilled oysters that Drago made famous. And then you have things like Oysters Rockefeller and Oysters Bienville. And then many others that haven't been invented yet, but they always seem to be inventing one. The last time I was there, they had a Mexican-style dish that they were offering as their oyster dish of the day. It was pretty good, too. It was oyster tortillas, oysters tacos, oyster tacos. That's what they were. Interesting. But this is only the beginning even yet, because they also do dishes for just about all other kinds of seafood. And they have been at it for a long time, since the 1930s. The first oysters, raw oysters, I ever ate in my entire life came from Felix. They're on Iberville Street between Bourbon and Royal. They are open 7 days a week. And they have a second location now. They took over the place that used to be Brisby's. This one was out near the lakefront. As a matter of fact, it was right on the canal there that all the sailboats and everything went out that way. And then you had the whole Lake Pontchartrain in front of you. You'd go up to the top section, eat outside if you can stand the weather. I think it's a little too cold for that now, but, you know, it won't be winter forever. And in the meantime, you can speculate on how good it'll be when you go over for lunch and dinner to Felix on Iberville between Royal and Bourbon and at West End. You'll see it. Lots of parking. We will come back with more of The Food Show in a moment, but first, please, this. I wonder what they say about aged beef, because aged beef is the exact same process. And there are a lot of steakhouses that do that. And I've done it myself at home. I've never had a problem with it. But then again, they say that oysters will kill you, too, but I've never had a problem with that. I don't think I have. Wait a minute. No, I'm still alive. I'll be darned. 260-6368. Ba-dum-bump, ba-dum-bump. Did I tell you about our cruise to Alaska? This is something we're getting ready to do. It'll be in June. June the 10th, to be exact, is the day that we're going to leave from Vancouver in Alaska. Well, I'm sorry, in Canada. And then we're going through all these wonderful little towns along the coast of Alaska, and the unbelievable beauty of the surroundings. It's something that every American has to see at some time during their life. It's really great. Anyway, we're doing it on board the Cunard Queen Elizabeth. It's the Queen Elizabeth II. And there are three cruisers in the Cunard group. And we've been on two of them, but we haven't been on this one before. They're all pretty much the same, but they are, everyone has something a little bit different. And just the idea that we've gone out and we've traveled on the entire Cunard bunch of ships, that we will, it'll be great to be there. I'm looking forward to that a lot. That's my favorite cruise line by far. The food is great. They have a bit of formality about them. Used to be that even if you got on, you know, the likes of a Carnival cruise ship, that most people would travel with their tuxedos and other formal wear. That has pretty much gone away. You hardly ever see that requirement anymore, but they do have it on the Cunard lines. And that's why I'm going to not only bring it with me, but I'll probably use it two or three times, because we're traveling for 10 nights. So we all get together for dinner every night, unless you don't want to, in which case you can do whatever you want. That's pretty much the way it goes. During the daytime, I always try to find a restaurant or some other food-related event. One of them is the Alaskan salmon. That's the best salmon in the world, Pacific salmon, and that's the perfect season for it. I think we'll catch it right down the middle. And we're going to Juneau, Alaska, and you can actually walk on a glacier over there. I remember taking a bicycle to go and do that last time we were there. We've been there twice before, so we know what we're doing around there. If you're interested in this, just even fantasizing about it, go to nomenu.com. That's my website. And then right at the end of the name, it's nomenu.com/Alaska. And just click on that in your browser, and all the information is going to be there. Hope to see you. That should be a nice trip. We'll probably have around 40 people. There'll be regular listeners to our program, and it'll give us something to talk about for years and years to come. That's a really fun thing to do. I love cruising. Not everybody does, but I really do love that. Anyway, that's coming up, again, I tell you, in June of this year, which is really moving fast as cruise lines go. Most of the time, they like doing everything about a year and a half ahead of time or even more. This one, we're moving on it. I think we have a chance of having a pretty good crowd here, and you'll make more friends than anything else you've ever done in your life. On cruise ships, everybody gets to know everybody else. If you don't want to, though, if you would rather be by yourself, you and your wife or your husband, that can be done. No problem. Nobody will think a thing about it. And every night, right before dinner, we have Tom's Martini Club. Whether you drink martinis or not, that's something that's always a lot of fun. We just really have a ball with that. Looking forward to it. I thought pretty much that we had come to the end of all of these cruises we'd done. But no, I've been talked into this one. This one I really feel good about. 260-6368 is our telephone number. give us a call. Tell us where you've been eating these days. We'd love to know. If I can help you with a recipe or with a restaurant idea, call me. We can discuss it. Maybe you've been to a really good one lately. We'd love to hear what that place is. Because you might think that that everybody knows this, that the great restaurants that you most like, they are already well-known to everybody, and what's the point of even bringing such a place up? Well, I'll tell you, the real truth is that not everybody does know it. As a matter of fact, very few people know what one other person loves as a great, great restaurant. There are just too many restaurants out there for it to be otherwise. So if you tell us this, you will be adding something to the knowledge base of just about everybody who's listening. So how could you not do that? So if you've had a good dinner somewhere, please call us and tell us about it. We really want to know. You don't have to be, you know, some brilliant composer of reasons why it's good and all. You know, I'm happy with it. Was delicious. Everything we had there, it was really great, even down to the root beer. You know, that's fine. This is how people really eat. It's always been my approach to writing restaurant reviews, is that I want to come to them from the same direction that just any normal person would. So, you know, I pay for my check at the end. I don't play any games with that. And I just, when I walk out the door, I know how good I felt about it. If I felt good about it, I'd know it. I wouldn't have to figure it out. Anyway, that's why we do all of this in a program, which I haven't mentioned lately. But you know, this program has been on for 30 years. Same host, same idea, same radio station. We're very proud about that. It's the longest-running radio show in the history of New Orleans by far, and I don't think it'll ever be topped. We have a lot of fun doing it, too. We'd have more fun if you called, though. Why not? Come on, call us, 260-6368. 260-6368. All run together. If you're away from downtown, it's area code 504-260-6368. Call right now. You'll get right in. We'd love to hear from you. And I will regard every one of your words as brilliant and useful. So how can you pass up a deal like that? 260-6368. Let's see. What else do we have to do? We were running through the food almanac a little while ago. I don't think we got to everything in it yet today. This is something I put in my newsletter every day, that you can get the newsletter by going to nomenu.com. Right now, there it is. Today's edition is up there. You won't have to do anything else. It's free. Our edible dictionary for today is called pulla, P-U-L-L-A. This is a Finnish word, as in Finland, and it's a slightly sweet yeast bread that they make in Finland, particularly around the holidays. It has a few things in common with New Orleans king cake, but it's not the same. It doesn't have the frosting at all or anything like it. And it's also a little bit like challah. And if you were Jewish, you would know exactly what I'm talking about. It's an eggy kind of a bread that's very common in that cuisine. And also in delis a lot. And also there are a few restaurants around town that make bread pudding out of challah, C-H-A-L-L-A-H. It's not quite as eggy, though. Most of the time, a loaf of pulla, P-U-L-L-A, is braided, and it contains cardamom seeds and raisins. So cardamom is a spice. It's one of the spices that everybody was clamoring for back when Columbus was scouring the world looking for them. Cardamom has a very interesting or aromatic quality to it. You see it being used in a lot of Indian cooking. And raisins, so that all works together. And now we hear from the old kitchen sage. This is the guy who knows everything about food. Here he goes. He says, if you're going to go through the trouble of seasoning a leg of lamb, you may as well stuff the place where the bone was with something. So think lamb sausage, breadcrumbs, and garlic, and you shove it into that pocket where the bone came in before. Well, that's I'll remember that next time I do a lamb rack. A gourmet gazetteer. A gazetteer is like an encyclopedia. It's also kind of like a dictionary, but it only talks about place names. So, Eaton Creek. You see, you get it, Eaton. It carries water, sometimes a lot of it, 4 miles down the west slope of Cannibal Plateau. This is sounding horrible. It's a wilderness area in west central Colorado. This is the heart of the Rocky Mountains. And in its four-mile run, it's only 4 miles long, it drops 3,600 feet. Wow. It flows into the Gunnison River, 3 miles north of Lake City. That's a little resort town with some of the most spectacular scenery on earth. The TikTok Diner is probably where you'll be eating. This is not the same TikTok Diner as we have here in Metairie. And anyway, so deaf dining rule number 214 as we move right along here. In case you haven't heard, the old rule requiring lamb to be served with mint jelly has been repealed. It never was a good idea. I think that's absolutely true. I remember a time when if you ordered any kind of lamb dish, anything at all, a lamb leg, a whole lamb, whatever it is, it would always be served with a little container of mint jelly. Even at places like Antoine's, they would bring that out. And if you are looking for a way to completely ruin some otherwise really delicious dish, smother your lamb dishes with mint jelly. You'll really hate it. Dance, don't ask me, I won't dance, madame, with you. My feet won't let my mind do. No, that's not how that goes. Never mind. You're listening to The Food Show, and I'll bet you're sorry you are. But welcome anyway. We'd love to hear from you. I'm happy that you're listening. Thank you very much for that. 260-6368. Today is the birthday of George Foreman, we mentioned earlier, but I have a quotation from him that came my way. Somebody sent me this. Says that today the biggest decision, this was something he said, that George Foreman said. Today the biggest decisions I make aren't related to the heavyweight title. They're whether I visit McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's, or Jack in the Box. Wow. Then we have, let's see, a couple other quotes here. Chicken may be eaten constantly without becoming nauseating. Andre Simone said that. I don't know who Andre Simone is. I'll have to look that up. Here's another one. Words to drink by. Be wary of strong drink. It can make you shoot at tax collectors and miss. Robert Heinlein, he wrote a lot of novels that were set in the future. Here we have a couple more. Food namesakes. These are people whose names have a food quality to them. Wallace Berry. He was a composer and author of books on music theory. He was born today in 1928. Wallace Berry. Get it? Food. Chandra Cheeseborough. That's really the name. Chandra. And then Cheeseborough. Cheeseborough. Here's a name. Let's see. Who's over here on the green phone? Ron, welcome to the food show.
Hey, Tom.
Hi.
Hi. Listen, I'm in from Galveston.
Yeah.
I always give you a call a couple of years.
Oh,
every
good.
So.
Glad
yeah.
you did.
And we share something together. We love oysters. And
I was
sitting in an oyster bar.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if the guy was trying to upsell me or what, the bartender in the back.
Yeah.
Because I sat there and I wanted to get some good Gulf Coast oysters.
Yeah.
And he's trying to talk me into East Coast oysters. And his argument was that, and you know how it is, I don't want those little small, lifeless things. I want the good Gulf Coast meaty oysters.
Absolutely.
And he sits there and he's using this argument, that the Gulf Coast oysters are pasteurized.
Baloney.
And I don't know.
Not
Thank
true.
You.
I mean, some of them are. Some of them are. Yeah, that's a fact. But the really great oyster purveyors, that's not pasteurized. That's the real deal.
Straight out of the bag, straight out of the Gulf.
You know, and assuming you're in a restaurant that's completely reputable, which is, you know, always a consideration. But and if you're cooking them, it doesn't make any difference at all.
No, that's exactly correct. Yeah. And I've just downloaded your Oysters Rockefeller because I've picked up a gallon of oysters that I'm planning on cooking, well, starting tonight.
It sounds like a good plan to me.
Have a good night.
Thank you
so much.
Have fun.
Bye-bye.
See ya. That's true. Boy, I thought where he was going with it is something I'm always hearing from. Oh, for example, in New York City, in Grand Central Terminal, they have a restaurant there called The Oyster Bar. That's really the name of it. It's terrific. They have oysters from all over the world, except from here. They don't have local oysters, New Orleans oysters at all, Louisiana oysters. I always ask whenever they send me a press release saying, hey, publicize this for us, will you? Always ask, are you doing Louisiana oysters? No, we don't use those because they're common. They kill people, or you know, or something as equally nutty as that. That's what I've heard, not from the steakhouse. I'm sorry, not from the oyster bar, but from other places. It's really terrible. The reason you hear things like this is that most of the rest of America does need to get their oysters through some source like that. Here in Louisiana, where we have this great product that's right practically at our front door, it's take it as it comes. Mother Nature knows what she's doing. Be careful, though. You know, there's always, you know, that little advisory. They're putting that out not for nothing. We've gotten to the end of our program today, and that wasn't one of our better shows. But then again, that's the way it goes sometimes. I hope you have a great dinner tonight somewhere. And if you have something you wanted to ask and we never got around to it or you didn't feel like going on the air, send me your question or your comments to tom@nomenu.com. That's my own personal website for taking email, and I would very much welcome your thoughts. See ya. Have a good dinner. Good night.